And finally,
said Max, quieting the audience down and putting on his solemn face.
Finally, I believe we have with us here tonight a party of believers, very devout believers, from the Church of the Second Coming of the Great Prophet Zakhwan.
There were about 20 of them, sitting right out on the edge of the floor, ascetically dressed, sipping mineral water nervously, and staying apart from the festivities. They blinked resentfully as the spotlight was turned on them.
There they are, said Max, sitting there patiently. He said he'd come again, and he's kept you waiting a long time. So let's hope he's hurrying, fellas, because he's only got 8 minutes left.
The party of Zarquan's followers sat rigid, refusing to be buffeted by the waves of uncharitable laughter which swept over them. Max restrained his audience.
No, but seriously, though, folks, seriously, though, no offence meant. No, I know we shouldn't make fun of deeply held beliefs, so I think a big hand, please, for the great Prophet Zakhwan.
The audience clapped respectfully.
Wherever he's got to!
He blew a kiss to the stony-faced party and returned to the centre of the stage. He grabbed a tall stool and sat on it.
It's marvellous, though, he rattled on, to see so many of you here tonight. No, isn't it, though? Yes, absolutely marvellous, because I know that so many of you come here time and time again, which I think is really wonderful, to come and watch this final end of everything, and then return home to your own eras and raise families. Strive for new and better societies. Fight terrible wars for what you know to be right. It really gives one hope for the future of all lifekind, except, of course,
he waved at the blitzing turmoil above and around them,
that we know it hasn't got one.
Arthur turned to Ford. He hadn't quite got this place worked out in his mind. Look, surely, he said, if the universe is about to end, don't we go with it? Ford gave him a 3-pangalactic gargle blaster look, in other words, a rather unsteady one.
No, he said. Look, he said, as soon as you come into this dive, you get held in this sort of amazing, force-shielded, temporal warp thing, I think.
Oh, said Arthur. He turned his attention back to a bowl of soup he'd managed to get from the waiter to replace his steak.
Look, said Ford, I'll show you.
He grabbed at a napkin off the table and fumbled hopelessly with it.
Look, he said again, imagine this napkin, right, as the temporal universe, right? And this spoon as a transductional mode in the matter curve.
It took him a while to say this last part, and Arthur hated to interrupt him.
That's the spoon I was eating with, he said. All right, said Ford. Imagine this spoon.
He found a small wooden spoon on a tray of relishes.
This spoon!
But found it rather tricky to pick up.
No, better still, this fork.
Hey, would you let go of my fork? Snapped Zaphod.
All right, said Ford. All right, all right. Why don't we say that this wine glass is the temporal universe?
What, the one you've just knocked on the floor?
Oh, did I do that?
Yes.
All right, said Ford. Forget that. I mean, look, do you know how the universe actually began for a kickoff?
Probably not, said Arthur, who wished he'd never embarked on any of this.
All right, said Ford. Imagine this. Right, you get this bath, right, a large round bath, and it's made of ebony.
Where from? Said Arthur. Harrods was destroyed by the Vogons.
Doesn't matter.
So you keep saying.
Listen.
All right.
You get this bath, see? Imagine you got this bath and it's ebony and it's conical.
Conical? Said Arthur. What sort of...
Shh! Said Ford. It's conical. So what you do is, you see, you fill it with fine white sand, all right, or sugar. Fine white sand and or sugar, anything. Doesn't matter. Sugar's fine. And when it's full, you pull the plug out. Are you listening?
Yeah, I'm listening.
You pull the plug out and it all just twirls away, you see, out of the plug hole.
I see.
You don't see at all. I haven't got to the clever bit yet. You want to hear the clever bit?
Tell me the clever bit.
I'll tell you the clever bit.
Ford thought for a moment, trying to remember what the clever bit was.
The clever bit, he said, is this. You film it happening.
Clever, agreed Arthur.
You get a movie camera and you film it happening.
Clever.
And that's not the clever bit. This is the clever bit. I remember now that this is the clever bit. The clever bit is that you then thread the film in the projector backwards.
Backwards?
Yes, threading it backwards is definitely the clever bit. So then you just sit and watch it and everything just appears to spiral upwards out of the plug hole and fill the bath. See?
And that's how the universe began, is it? Said Arthur.
No, said Ford, but it's a marvellous way to relax.
He reached for his wine glass.
Where's my wine glass? He said.
It's on the floor.
Ah!
Tipping back his chair to look for it, Ford collided with the small green waiter who was approaching the table carrying a portable telephone. Ford excused himself to the waiter, explaining that it was because he was extremely drunk. The waiter said that that was quite all right and that he perfectly understood. Ford thanked the waiter for his kind indulgence, attempted to tug his forelock, missed by 6 inches, and slid under the table.